It'll happen.
What kind of coffee cake are you making?
It's just a gluten-free coffee cake.
You're
Is it
so
like
fancy.
cinnamon strudel or
Yeah.
anything? Oh,
Yeah.
yes. Have
Sniper.
you ever had the gluten-free brownies from Aldi?
I don't have an
I
Aldi,
have
so I don't
Oh my
know.
God.
Let's go play with the
I'll have to
pizza.
buy it and send you. I'm telling you, it is the best brownies I've ever had in my whole life.
Well,
You bake them or you buy them
You bake them.
ready-made?
You bake
Okay,
them.
you bake them.
They're
I
so.
found some ready-made gluten-free donuts at Sprouts that I have had now 3 containers of delivered through Instacart because they are some of the best donuts I've ever had in my lifetime, and they're small. But they're so good, and I am gonna start my period today. So I feel like if I wanted to order just all of the donuts they have in stock and have it delivered to my house, that that's like an acceptable
It is totally acceptable.
decision. So
Good
I
evening,
honestly
everybody, and
feel.
welcome to the weekly wind down. All right.
it.
I am Jackie D, the literary lesbian.
I'm Stacy, the new age old school mom.
I'm Stacy, the political princess.
I'm Jean, the feisty feminist.
And I'm Erin, the geeky gal pal.
Who synced up with Stacy?
Anybody? Doesn't. Oh, Jean too.
no.
I am in my perimenopausal sort of way. Yes, I am.
Oh,
I mean, do
well.
you have to wait a whole new year?
Yeah. I never even
Oh.
came close.
Oh.
I only need the itty bitty tampons now, but I haven't gone the whole year yet, so I'm in this for at least another year.
I'm telling you, the Diva Cup is a game changer. That is the same reaction my wife has, and I'll tell you what, I will never go back, ever.
I still want to know what happens if you have it in and you get in a car crash and you go into a coma. How do they
It'll
know it's in there?
because it will if you let it get too full, it will leak, and then they'll realize that there's something going on, and then they'll check it.
Do people in comas like just have their period and people
Yeah,
like go
that's
in,
how those
nurses
women
go
in
in and
that's how women in comas get their freaking get pregnant by those sickos.
Oh, you're
Oh,
right.
so
I didn't even think
yeah.
of that.
And if you're in a car accident, the cup will probably pop out anyway.
Of
So
course.
it is
Oh,
true.
I'm
Yeah,
sure, of
they'll
course.
Like when a turkey is ready, is that little white
yeah,
pop?
the little
Got it.
pop-up button. Yep. And then they'll just find it on the floor of your car.
Gross. Dirty.
That's what she said. Hey, yo.
Womp womp. So tonight I am drinking two different beers. Stacy brought me 39 beers for my 39th birthday, which was a great idea. So there's all kinds of different ones from all over the place. I've had some from Boston, some from California. They're mostly from Boston and California. This one is called Newish Who Dis, and I love the
That's
cover of
cute.
it, and it says, "This is some newish right here. At LCB, we usually stay true to our SoCal West Coast taste buds and keep our hazy IPAs a little on the dry and bitter side, just the way we like it. Newish is made from a tremendous amount of oats and soft, low bitterness hops. Truly some newish." Okay. It's very good. It's also 8.5% alcohol. And then when I'm done with
Nice.
that, I will be drinking something from the same company called Hazy Promise. And again, I liked the cover or the, what do you call it, the label, because he looks like he's proposing to beer, and instead of a ring, it's a little hop, which
Oh.
is very cool. And it says about this beer, "I promise to love you with all my hops until the end of our haze. This hazy New York-inspired brew boasts a soft but not too heavy mouthfeel. Loads of specialty malt and the newest designer hops, along with our custom house yeast blend." Yeast. And they're actually
Yeast.
from Tehachapi, California. So that's, if any, the only thing Tehachapi matters is to get from San Francisco to LA, you drive right past it. That's the only thing anyone ever cares. You don't even think about Tehachapi until you're on the freeway and you're like, "I wonder what that place is." Apparently, they have a brewery.
Oh,
Good to
now you
know.
know.
They grow
Nice.
hops. That's all they
The
do
more you
there.
know.
Yeah, you're welcome, everyone.
Yeah.
I went to like the beer store to handpick each of your beers, and I was like loading them up all the same size so that I could package them cute. And I ended up running out. They carry 39 different. That's it. So I was like, I was going to hand pick them all out to stuff you liked, but I ended up just having to get everything they had. So some of those I know have to be like kind of gross, but I ran out of options.
It's good though, because it forces me to try ones that I wouldn't normally buy myself. So like I would have never bought any of those fruit ones. And I drank one the other night that was actually really good that I would have never purchased. So
some of them looked real interesting. They were like sour ice cream, whatever. I was like, these are real weird.
I've drank... Well, these ones right here will be my fifth and sixth one that I've had from those ones you brought me, and I've only not genuinely liked one of them.
That's good.
Yeah. And there's nothing I've had before, so I'm happy with it.
Yeah. I'm just drinking Apothic Red because I haven't drank in like a week, so I was like, I just want something I know I'm going to like and I know I'm going to enjoy, and it is what it is. Classic. Hmm.
I am still just not drinking because it makes my anxiety worse, so... I am having some water and some dark chocolate almond milk because I like to party.
Dark chocolate almond milk, no less. That is sounds quite savory and sweet.
And yeah, thick. So it's smooth.
Is it nutty? Is it a little nutty?
Looks like
real dark.
Yeah. No, brown. It's brown nut juice.
That's gross. A cheap bit.
I'm also drinking water, not because I had to stop drinking. Far from it. As a matter of fact, I've been drinking more now since I've been quarantined in my house. So, like, time is not even an issue. I started drinking at lunchtime and then had another beer at dinner. And then I'm like, okay, I'm done for today. So I'm cleansing the liver in anticipation of tomorrow. but I did find a really nice, you know, I always go for the local beer. Connecticut, we may be small, but we're mighty when it comes to craft breweries. And Hooker.
What'd you call me?
one of my favorite Connecticut breweries, Hooker Brewery, came out with a red Irish ale.
Ooh, and I love red beer.
I had one of those, and then I had when I was afraid they were going to close the liquor stores down, I panic shopped my way through the whole beer aisle.
She doesn't have toilet paper, but
paper. I have
the cheap Aldi toilet paper, and then I panic shopped beer.
Hope you don't get the beer shit.
Are you kidding? My bowels are so used to beer consumption now, they'd start questioning me if I didn't drink.
She'd get the beer shits when she quits drinking beer. Yeah.
Now I have all these like random cans left over in my refrigerator because I broke open all the four and the six packs. And I had also a local Swill, which is a very light, flavorful lager from the brewery in my own hometown. So now I'm on water.
Erin?
I'm actually drinking wine tonight, so...
What?
I know. Shocker. So I'm drinking...
Stop the presses.
I know. You know, everything else is in a panic. I might as well, you know, throw us all into a tizzy as well. I'm drinking the Dreaming Tree, Dave Matthews Band wine. You know I love him. Sauvignon Blanc, which I'm not typically a fan of Sonoma County or California Sauvignon Blancs,
wow.
But I am enjoying this. I know.
Wow.
I know. We've already gone over this. This is a rerun.
Oh,
I know, I'm sorry, but I'm actually really enjoying this. I love Dave. I know that's not no one else on this podcast does, but I do. I love Dave. But the about probably like the 26th, I think, of March, he did a live concert in his home, just kind of like some other people have been doing, which I think is absolutely amazing, and I love it. It was one of those days when all I needed was music. All I needed was to listen to some really great live music. And like all of the concerts that we've had planned for our 20 and 2020 have been canceled so far, and it's just been really like, I know that's the least of my of everyone else's worries are the fact that I can't go to some fucking concerts. But part of my anxiety gets calmed by live music. So this that live concert was amazing. So I've been kind of obsessed with Dave again. So I've been drinking a lot of Dave Matthews wine, and I've also been listening to a lot of music. So it's definitely been calming in that sense. So yeah, good. That's all I have to say about that.
Good.
Forrest.
Can I say one thing about the beer I'm drinking though? On the bottom of the little label, it says drink cold, drink fresh. As opposed to what? Do you know anyone that's like, I could go for a warm beer?
Never.
No, go ahead and pour that in a cup and leave it on the counter for 3 days and then I'll drink it. Like, no one.
It's like, remember that movie Blast from the Past where the guy, yes. like the dad, is heating a Dr. Pepper on the stove? You don't do that with your beer.
Yeah, it's like, I hope they didn't pay by the word for these labels and because. No shit. Or you know what? Probably someone probably called and was like, I hate your beer. I want a refund. And they're like, well, how'd you drink it? And they're like, warm and old.
Yeah.
And so they're like, well, now we're going to have to put that on the label.
I don't think a lot of people know that. I had to Google that when I bought all your beers that, cause I was like, oh, these all need to fit in my fridge. That like beer goes bad in like 8 weeks. I think it was, if you don't refrigerate it.
Who has beer in their house for 8 weeks?
Not me.
I mean, I did.
Whatever. I literally, like, it's sad. It really is sad. I mean, I've gone through so much alcohol since this whole thing. But Gail and I, we drink, I know, blah, blah, blah. We drink Mick Ultra. And we've gone through, like, I know. It's whatever. Kiss off, you motherfucker.
Like, it's the club soda of beer.
You know what? I love club soda too. But yeah, it's like we go through so much fucking beer. I don't think I've ever had a case of beer.
Well, if you drink real beer, you wouldn't have to go through so much fake beer.
Excuse me.
That's true.
You're right about that.
Because Jackie's 8.5% beer that she's drinking right now is worth two of your 4.5 big ultras.
At least.
It's like 3%.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, like, to be completely honest.
I rest my case.
I love craft beer. Like, I really, really, really love craft beer. And there is nothing more than I love to go to, like, a brewery and taste and drink and get tips. But when you're doing low carb.
Tips or tits?
All of it.
Yes.
All the above. But yeah, like when you're doing low carb, but you can't really drink craft beer because it has so many carbs.
But you only have to drink one versus three. So how many carbs is that?
That's beautiful. You really truly think that I would drink one, just one?
That is a great point.
But I think you'll drink two instead of drinking eight McUltras.
No, I would drink the whole fucking six pack. And then I would not be able to walk tomorrow. And I would be head in the toilet. Like, I don't have a shut off switch. Thanks for welcoming me, AA.
I say the real money, the real millionaires are going to be made 6 months from now by the people who open up a fat farm / alcohol detox center.
That sounds terrible. Isn't that just Mormon church camp?
I know. What's that?
Isn't that just Mormon church camp? Get your ass on a trampoline. You can't drink anything.
Pepsi.
So, how's quarantine treating everyone?
Same old. We started
living
the dream. Which apparently
we're
not allowed to call it homeschooling because the homeschool moms are like butthurt because they're like, this is not homeschooling. This is crisis schooling. There's a difference because they get to go out of the house. I think it's bullshit. I think it's the same thing. But I'll be nice and call it distance learning like we're supposed to.
I do prefer the name change on that, though, because I think it ignores all the work that the teachers are doing. And, like, mentally, there very much is a difference between homeschooling and crisis learning. And I only say that because I saw somebody post on something that said, you're not working from home. You're at home working during a crisis. And
yes.
I was like, oh, shit. Yeah.
Okay, that makes sense.
So in that instance, I don't give a shit about the homeschool moms.
Right. The post I read was from a homeschool mom, and she was like, don't you dare compare this to what we do all year. And I was like, No, but true.
That's their choice.
I was going to say the other difference, they choose to do that.
Yeah,
you don't have a choice
to do that. I can't stand when people complain about their choices they've made. Like, you made that fucking choice. I don't give a fuck that you decided to teach your kids from home.
We're only 15 minutes in. Aaron's at 50-minute Aaron.
That's because they don't want their children taught in them liberal heathen public schools.
And on the seventh day, they what is that? And,
They have their creationist curriculum ready to go.
Let Stacey tell us about her distance learning instead of all.
This was much more entertaining. Like, I was ready to go off when I read this email from this homeschool mom. I was like, listen, lady. And I feel bad to any of our listeners that, like, homeschooled their kids or they were homeschooled. I'm sorry. I just have this thing for homeschooling that it irks the shit out of me.
Agreed.
So we started distance learning this week, but it's actually been really positive because we're getting up at the same time. We've got a routine down. We sit in front of the computer and we go over everything from each class with the girls. I tell them what they need to do. It's nothing. It's seriously like 10 minutes of work. It's busy work, but at least we're doing it. And then we go every day at 12 to the elementary school and we pick up their free lunch, and it's a little sack lunch. It's really cute. This little old lady comes out and brings it to us. And sometimes the girls get to see their teachers and wave. They won't hand you stuff through the thing anymore. They put it on a cart with gloves and then they like push it out to you. It's all very sanitary. But it's nice that we got to start a little bit of a routine, something that makes the girls feel like normal. We haven't done Zoom yet, but we've done Google Meets and Hangout, which kind of cool, but kind of not, because the teachers are having the kids mute themselves and turn off their cameras to avoid distractions so they can only see their teachers. And I'm like real annoyed because they need to see each other and they need to talk to each other and they need to laugh and like, you know, kind of cause some chaos, I feel like. But the teachers are all being really strict. Hopefully that goes away in the next week or two and they get to like see each other's faces. But it's been, so far it's been really good. We're 4 days in.
Did you see that email that went out to like us, but someone posted on Facebook how during one of the Zoom classrooms, somebody like came in, it wasn't one of the kids, but someone like hacked the system and came into the classroom in quotation marks and like mooned the class. So the school had to send out like this super serious apology letter to all the parents. And I just couldn't help but laugh because
everybody went to school with that kid.
Right. And I mean,
that's like going crazy right now.
And I understand that could spiral out of control and things could be much worse. I mean, luckily the guy mooned them and didn't like throw his schlong in the camera, which would have been very distasteful, but I can't help but think that the mooning was relatively funny. Like, to have a group of middle schoolers sitting there and like to get mooned is very funny to me. So
I thought you were going to talk about the one where the lady bought like Costco towels and she's talking about how heavy they are. So you can only like hold it a certain way. And so she's holding it and she's trying to like finagle it because they're just big, heavy towels. And her kid comes in with the computer with the screen and is like, "Mom, how do you turn it off?" And turns it around to her naked mom. Like, "Here, turn it off." So she like completely flashes her kid's old classroom. I love
That's
it.
That's awesome.
Yeah. The story coming out of this is just super funny.
I have been holding Zoom classrooms for my high school students. And prior to when we officially started last week, our union rep sent out an email and said, if you use Zoom, we recommend that you turn the camera off because we're, concerned that students with the technology that they have will screenshot your face and put you on a stripper's body.
Wow.
And so my response to that was, well, look, if anybody could buy me as a stripper, I'm all for it. Go ahead. Go best for shot. It.
Plus, that's not any different than them just taking a picture of you during regular class.
Can I make that my profile pic?
Yeah. Can someone do that for us?
Right. I'm like, you know what? I'm like, do I have to like give you photo credit for that? Because if people think that that's me on a stripper pole, then you know somebody's done something right.
I think we all need to chill out a little bit. Like these are weird times and weird things are happening. And you know, I understand some parents might be upset about like the mooning situation, but damn, those kids are going to be telling that story till they're our age. Like it's
right. Well, also right. That stuff that would happen at regular school.
Right, just I relax. Remember
a rainy day recess in sixth grade, and some kid was looking at porn on. Which I'm sure he just Googled like boobies or something stupid, vagina. And it was on the computer, and then the computer like wouldn't turn off, and everybody, including the teacher, saw it.
Ooh.
And guess what? It wasn't on Zoom, and everyone's fine now.
Are you sure?
Well, and I know. Right. Seems pretty fresh, Stacey. And it was your back. No, but like, you know, it's so funny too, because like, you know, you think about the stories that happened during your years of schooling, and some of the best memories that you have are the funny ones, right? Mm-hmm. Like you have bad ones. Like obviously if you were bullied or whatever, like you obviously have scars from that. Like I'm not saying I do, but I do, but whatever. But like, I just feel like some of these things need to happen in order for these kids to remember that there are still good things happening in this world. And maybe seeing some kid's ass isn't a good thing, but the fact that there's still laughter and there's still things that we can find hilarious in this world are really great. And like, I think about like when my mom would tell stories about when she was in school and like all of those funny stories about how they got caught smoking a cigarette and, you know, behind the schoolyard or whatever. And those were things that her and her friends would connect about. And it was funny to them or whatever. And it's just exciting to think about, like, at least there's things happening that these kids can tell the next generation that this wasn't all horrifying, you know. Mm-hmm. There were actually good things happening, you know.
Well, and we have to stop thinking, like, you have to give your kids the ability to build a certain amount of resilience to the world. Because, like, learning that, teaching them or allowing them to develop good coping skills and resilience is so important as an adult. Because, believe me, being mooned is not the worst thing that's going to happen to you in your life.
It's probably going to be one of the best things that's ever happened.
And, you know, for the majority of kids, and I'm not talking about the ones in horrific situations where this has been traumatic because they're being abused at home and there's all, but average kids with average lives, this is not going to be the worst thing that ever happened to them. They're going to look back on this and feel very differently than the stress and stuff that their parents have experienced. And it's okay to let your kids build up a certain amount of, okay, I didn't die. So now I know that something horrible can happen and I will survive and I will be okay and we will get through this. And I think trying to isolate them from all of that and put a bubble around them is so problematic. I think that's worse than letting them be mooned.
Oh, absolutely.
I agree. And
I totally agree with what Stacey said, that I know from my students, I don't mute them and I don't block their videos because they need to see each other. They need to talk to each other. Because for as big of an inconvenience and as stressful it is for us to feel stuck inside, you know, imagine adolescents who are used to going out and hanging out and going over their friends' houses and just getting out of their
I'm
own.
A little relieved I don't have to go anywhere. I don't have to cancel plans with anyone.
It's such a load off.
Same.
Yeah, I think we haven't done a real great job of navigating risk versus actual danger, or letting our kids learn it. Like we protect, I mean, granted, I am much more, Lincoln loves to run across the couch. Like, I don't know why, he just does. And I have been more cautious in the recent weeks because you can't go to the fucking emergency room right now. Like there's COVID everywhere. So don't do anything dumb. But even as cautious as we've been, last night, he fell and smacked his chin on the table. And it came out before I could even stop myself. I was like, I told you not to fucking run on the couch. Like, he's 1.5. He doesn't actually understand. But then I was like, you know what? Maybe he won't do it again. Cause he thinks it's a game when we grab him and tell him to stop. Maybe it's good. He smacked his face on the couch. And I say that cause he wasn't seriously hurt. It was more surprising, but you know, we don't do a real great job as humans of navigating what is acceptable risk for our children that they have to go through and how much pain and turmoil they need to experience to create decent adults versus protecting them from everything. And mm-hmm. you can see it, you know exactly which moms are the ones that get their feelings hurt about talking about homeschooling. You know what? Mm-hmm. You made a choice. Own it. You wanted to teach your kids at home. Great. Good for you. It shouldn't matter how I feel about it. It shouldn't matter how Stacy feels about it. Like, I'm sure you had a million reasons that I have never experienced and I don't understand wanting to teach your kids from home. That's fine. You have to learn how to deal with other people's opinions, though, too. Mm-hmm. Like, you just do. Not everyone's going to agree with everything you do. So grow up.
Right. And that's a good lesson for your kids to learn.
Right. I'm just going to say that. Opinion. They're not going to learn it when they're being homeschooled.
Hey. Well, it's the same thing as parents running to the teacher every time, like, their kid gets in trouble at school or doesn't get a good grade. Why don't you have the kid go ask the teacher why they didn't get a good grade? Have them resolve their own issues. Why don't you go have them find out what work they can do to bring their C up to an A? Like, there's all these little things that we do for our kids every day that just don't create functioning adults. And you can tell me what you
not
can
even
see
adults,
it with some of the
they're not even
right
functioning
now.
Teenagers because then we hire them and they don't know how to do anything. They don't know how to do laundry or find out ask questions about a job or go to a job interview or fill out
like I saw a lot of things on Facebook since we've all been kind of stuck at home, and a lot of people, I mean, some people are treating this like the apocalypse. Some are treating that it's very funny to watch. And then everybody else is just kind of watching on the sidelines like, what's going to happen next? But one of the things that I think is a positive aspect coming out of this is how many like teenagers are learning to cook now because they're at home and learning to do their own laundry because now their parents have time to. I know it's easier to just be like, I'll do it myself. I'm tired. I don't want to deal with you, especially when you have two working parents and it's been long days and, you know, whatever. But now the parents are like, no, clean your own shit. Like, we're all here together. We're all stuck inside. What are you doing? Playing video games? No, clean your own bullshit. So that's been one of the good things. I'm seeing a lot more teenagers learning how to cook and take care of themselves.
Yeah, which is funny because they're learning that with their parents home, which is, you know, like you would think they would learn it without their parents home, but they don't because their parents make sure that they're always taken care of even when they're not home. Now that they're home, they're like, no, do it yourself. Like, it's so crazy how like the like how it's like reversed, you know?
Yeah, I'm four seasons into Mad Men. Do your own dishes.
I'm still binge watching this. I don't plan on getting off this couch until at least episode 8.
By the way, Netflix really needs to remove the "Are you still watching?" It's rude. Of course I'm fucking watching. I can't go anywhere. Stop asking.
Like, yeah, are you trying to rub it in that I can't leave my fucking house during a pandemic? Thanks a lot, Netflix.
Yeah, I was gonna say. Now that's just cruel. It's not even, you know, it's not even a fair question anymore.
No, it's they always really been kind of judgy.
If you binge watch The Office, you have to click next episode every time.
Only sometimes.
Oh, mine is like, I watch it on my phone, to be fair. But, like, every time it has, like, a new episode, I have to click watch next episode. And I'm like, let it play. Let it play. What are you doing?
How do I waive this feature?
You should be able to do that. Check a box that you can waive this feature. Oh, you know what would be cool, Netflix? If you could customize your own, like, warning signals. Like, hey, dum-dum, go to bed. You've been doing this for 6 hours. Oh, that would be fun.
Yeah, then people would be pissed about that. They'd be like, how do I turn this off? I know I need to go to sleep, you assholes. No,
people are pissed about everything.
Yeah.
Okay, this is how lazy I am. I want there to be a feature where I don't have to scroll on TikTok.
Set it down and it's super annoying and it won't stop. My daughter told me she set hers in her locker at PE and it played the same TikTok for all of PE and she didn't know until she got back.
Wow.
They need to fix that. Come on, TikTok.
Yeah, come on, TikTok. Automatic.
Let's talk about like the amazing, like how many apps are getting so many more hits now that this has happened. Like TikTok. I have like, it's like all of our friends up in Indiana, like they're all, you know, probably, I think they're all over 40. I think, yeah. Like, they're all like, we just found TikTok. I'm like, oh, my God. And they're all sending TikToks back and forth in this big, giant thread we have. And I'm like, oh, my God, these poor ladies had just found it.
I refuse to give in to TikTok.
Do what?
I refuse to give in to TikTok. I watch the TikToks you guys send me, and that's it. I can't.
It'll consume you.
Yeah, it will. You'll lose a lot of time.
I have to, okay, do you guys do this? I will see a video and then I like need to know what else happens. So then I end up following that person because I'm like, oh, this girl is turning their old shed in their backyard into a she shed. I need to, okay, let me follow her because I need to.
Where are you going to put a she shed in your backyard? Your backyard's like 10 feet by 10 feet.
No, the video, I just want to see how it turns out.
It's like, you don't ever do, like, leave.
Minute long video. So it's like part one. Yeah. And then you have to like subscribe to them to see part two.
Oh my God, it's the Twitter of YouTube.
You do not leave the middle of a Fixer Upper episode and not go back.
Thank you.
Always go back. There's a couple. I need to see what Joanna and Chip have done.
There's a couple really cute, like romances that I'm very invested in.
Wait, is it Beer Pong John?
Okay, it's Beer Pong John and officially Mongu. I'm so invested in the two of their relationship. And then there's another girl, I forget her name, who saw like a cute guy that lives in her neighborhood because he was like running past her house or whatever. And so it's been several videos of her trying to stalk him and then finding out where he lived and then leaving a note in his mailbox with her phone number on it. And then he texted her and I was like, I need to know what happened.
It's a guy that's like watching from his window and sees a girl working out on her rooftop and sends his drone over. Oh. Yeah, they've had a thing too.
That I would have shot.
That's out of a little stalkerish.
No, he sent aggressive. A drone with a note.
Oh, okay. So she knew she was being watched.
So, yeah, he was like, hey, you're cute. Like, here's my number. Text
okay, he wasn't just weirdly watching her with the drone. Okay.
Well, we don't know for how long before he sent the note. Right. I mean, come on.
You only know what TikTok provides you.
Right.
Yeah. Well, okay, so anybody that's watching these TikToks, have you seen the people that are all painting an accent wall geometric shapes to look like kind of like stained glass? Okay. My friend called me today and she was like, you know what's going to happen? In 50 years, people are going to show houses and they're going to have that wall and they're going to call it the COVID wall. And they're going to say, look, you get the COVID wall with this house. Don't touch it though. It might still have the virus and the paint. Like, and it's going to be a big thing. Like, you know, like, that's really good. Yeah, vintage, houses.
I never even thought about doing a wall like that in the geometric, like, almost like the chalk paints that they've been doing.
It's the exact same thing, but it's like every 10th video on TikTok is somebody doing an accent wall in their house of that, and it's so old now. It's like, Jesus.
Oh my God, so that was that, so March 28th. Right? It's April 9th now.
I think that when they could start going out to restaurants again, they're going to come home one night, look at that wall, and say, what the fuck happened in here? Yeah. Once things get back to normal.
The ones where all the people are living in that church.
There's a school one too.
That is so cool. Like, that is really fucking cool. Like, I'm like, let's do that. I think we should totally commune it and live in a church together.
Amen.
I agree.
We'd have to have our own winery.
Yes, of course.
It's a problem.
If we call it a church, then we won't even have to pay property taxes.
Perfect.
You're worshiping the vineyard of the
shelter.
That's right. The blood of Jesus will be squeezing it out of grapes.
Absolutely.
What's that religion where they worship the spaghetti monster?
A Rastafarian?
Yeah. Oh, no, something like that.
Pasta. We talked about that on here.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
All right.
And you know, I don't do the TikTok. I have not found
it. TikTok.
I don't do the TikTok. what I've been getting, like, going down these weird Facebook wormholes, and I don't know how it's happened, but I'm getting all these weird ads on my Facebook page now. Like, this past week, I got an ad for ball wash, and it's I don't know. I guess men put powder on their balls and make a big mess all over the floor, because I guess one of the things that this new ball wash was going to do was reduce the need for powder. And it's talking about, and then I went down to all, it's I was like reading all the comments now.
Yeah, it gets swampy.
It,
Yeah. That's the equivalent. So I'm reading now all the comments because I'm looking for all the funny comments on the ball wash stuff. And then to my horror, they were mostly sincere comments. And it was like my husband John has a very strong pungent odor down there. Where am I going? How do I get back? How do I get out?
Can you just say ball wash again?
Ball wash. And it's, I think it's like a cream.
Does it make you happy?
I don't know how
it makes me happy.
I mean, of all the products end up on my Facebook wall, how
somebody's algorithm got
lesbian? Yeah, Zuckerberg better go back to the drawing room on his algorithms for me, because you don't start putting testicle wash on Gold Star Lesbian Facebook wall.
Let's talk about how that lady was probably a homeschooler.
Let's talk about how that was the most Leo thing Gene could have said. Mark Zuckerberg needs to personally go back to my algorithm and rework it.
He needs to get his shit together. And I'm speaking for all of the lesbians out there.
Have
who may
you guys ever gotten that ad for like Wish? It's like called Wish, and it's like the weirdest fucking shit you've ever seen. It's like,
Erin, you're making fun of her for TikTok. You're just learning about Wish.
No, I'm just saying. App.
I figured that's why I get the ads.
No, I do not have it. And all of a sudden I started getting all these ads for like very sexual things, like a sex swing. And I'm like, ooh. Why do I need this? I mean, I purchase. No. I just don't understand. Like, it's so weird, like how they get it. So yeah, like I agree. Mark, come on. Step up your game.
I think we all get the same ads, don't we? Because I got the ball wash and the Wish ads.
It depends. Some ads are very targeted.
I do not get ball wash ads. I must be a better lesbian than you, Gene.
I'm going to text you over the very ball wash ad.
Don't even put that in my phone.
I get the ball wash ad too.
I'm gonna send
you. Well, you have balls to wash.
But you know what? Sometimes it can be something like, did you get the ball wash ad because you saw Jean's ball wash ad? And, you know, like there's.
I've been getting the ball wash ad for a hot minute. Since Christmas.
You have balls.
Oh, hi. He needs
you,
a.
You have balls in your life, Stacey. That's there's a difference there. Somebody marketable.
To get me to buy stocking stuffers. That's how they marketed it. So I was like, oh, cool. Like, whatever.
Oh.
For that man in your life.
Did you buy it?
No.
My son is very, he's learned the word penis now. So he's very proud of himself when he gets his diaper off and he points to his penis and says, penis, penis. And I'm surprised I have not received the ball wash ad because of that, because penis has said a lot in this house. Way more than it probably should be.
Well, it's not a penis wash, it's a ball wash. So.
But balls, I thought, came with the penises. It's a twofer.
No, they were very specific about the balls. The penis was not mentioned at all. It was all about the balls.
Gene, you want to tell us how you're feeling about Cuomo?
Well, speaking of balls, that was a very nice segue.
You're welcome.
By the way.
Gene is straight for Cuomo.
I used to very definitively identify as lesbian. But I am now a Cuomosexual because I am pseudo in love and quasi attracted to Governor Andrew Cuomo. And sometimes in the depth of quarantine loneliness, I message my friend and say my husband is giving his daily press conference right now.
I thought you were going to say something else. I was like, I don't know if we're ready for that, Gene.
No, I'm not going there. So I pretend that not only is he my husband, but that he's also the president. I call him President Governor Cuomo. And you know, I don't listen to that blabbering, blithering idiot toss his word salad day after day, saying everything's gonna be fine.
we had 15 cases, but now we're going to have zero. Everything's going to be fine. We're going to go out. We're going to open the economy. We're going to make America great again.
Rapidly.
And so, you know, I can't listen to him anymore. And so I get my COVID-19 updates from President Governor Cuomo every day.
President Governor Cuomo.
I get mine from President Governor Newsom. So we're on the same page.
Yeah,
well, I have Governor Asshole fucking Ron DeSantis.
You have Governor Nose Up Donald Trump's ass DeSantis as your governor.
Just bobbing on his knob every day. Bobbing.
Did you say bobbing on his knob?
Yep.
Knock.
He's probably gonna ball talk and knob
he's
talk,
gonna
right?
He's gonna ball wash in Donald Trump's Christmas stocking.
Yeah, his Christmas knob. He's got a U-log.
So what do you guys think about everyone talking about how Trump has handled this now that he's admitting that it's a crisis as like a president? Like that he's doing a good job, essentially.
No, I think that's absolute fucking bullshit. And I think everyone should read. I'll send it to you.
Stacey, there was an article. Would you like to weigh in?
Yeah, sure. There was an article in The Atlantic, and I think everyone should read it. And I'll try and find it.
Trump failed?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes.
Thousands of people are going to die, and it's because he failed us as a president. So. Yeah.
And I am absolutely fucking floored. Floored. And you spell that FUHLOOORED. Floored. That there are still fucking numbskull imbeciles that think he's doing a good job. I am just I'm literally I'm speechless about it. Like, there's a guy that I work with that literally got pissed at me today and left my like area because, I mean, we were 6 feet apart. I'm not trying to sound like an asshole, but really have been. But like,
I need you 50 feet away right now. 50 feet.
Get away from it. Like, he left because I was talking about what a fucking piece of shit Trump is, and he got so mad at me that he left. And I was just like, okay, well, I'm glad, because at this point, like, if someone picks a fight with me about it, I have no words. I'm literally flabbergasted.
Bless you. COVID!
It's incompetence. Coronavirus!
I think part of the problem is we have lowered the bar so low for this man as far as what is presidential and what is, like, intelligent speak on an issue. It is mind-boggling. And some reporters that I have a tremendous amount of respect for that have done their jobs very, very well in the past, when I see them, especially in the New York Times, lower the bar for what is an acceptable response to this is just it mind-boggling. Well, it goes beyond that, because our bar for the president should be higher than anyone. And when we have governors all over the country who are doing a far superior job to mitigating the crisis that is taking place right now, it is so disingenuous to watch them like slobber all over him, saying what a great job he's doing in discussing things that he truly has no business right now. And I'm not saying the president in times like this are there to give people hope, to assure people that they're putting the right people in charge and they're doing everything they can to help control this virus, and to also admit that they're not experts, but to reassure everyone that they have found the best people possible to handle a crisis like this.
Right. Mm-hmm. They have the experts in charge.
Right. So to be going on and to be able to take a somber tone when talking about 15,000 people in New York dying, and to put that at the caliber of, well, that was very presidential. No, he had a glimpse of humanity for like half a second. That's all it was. It's not presidential. That's a normal response to hearing 15,000 people are going to die or are dead, is this is terrible. That's a human response, not a presidential response. A presidential response is we're going to divert all of the national resources to New York right now, because that is where we are being hit the hardest. And then we are going to reevaluate from there and taper off as the scale shifts and changes. And I think he's giving people really unrealistic kind of ideas about this, because the models, let's be really honest, the models that have been derived from this, all of them are wrong, because all of the information and the data shifts every day. So every day. Yes, you can have a model that says 60,000 people are going to die, and 2 weeks later you're going to have one that says 20,000 people are going to die in a particular state because people have social distance, they've stopped going to work, like all of these things have happened.
And then people get mad about that. No, that's a good thing.
Right. And it doesn't mean that the models are wrong. It means that they're living and breathing.
The facts
and that
have changed.
Right. You're not looking back on this like the bubonic plague and saying, well, now you've changed your numbers. No, things change because people prediction. Change and habits change. So
because this is currently happening.
And like I think literally I always think Fox News is irresponsible. I think they're being particularly irresponsible in this instance because they're taking this as an opportunity to say how wrong everybody is and we shouldn't be listening. And they find these like off the cuff scientists that like come out of nowhere that are like, well, I think the model's wrong because of whatever. There's like, okay, but you're one of 10 million that thinks they're wrong. Everybody else is saying that to at least follow this. And again, we don't have any good answers for this. Nope. We don't have any definitive answers. We don't have any concrete information because, as illnesses do, we don't know how this would affect me any more than we know how this would affect Aaron or Stacy or anyone that contracts it, because that's how human biology works. It's why some people recover from cancer and some people do not. Like,
right. And that's why it's so dangerous for him to go out there and be telling people that they should be having their doctors prescribe chloroquine if they contract COVID-19. And I was like, man, that's so crazy. Like is he just repeating something he heard someone say, whatever. And then I read that he has stock in the company that,
let me tell you this too. Here's my pushback about this. The Navy, and I don't know, Stacey, I don't know if you're immunized from this, but when we responded to the tsunami that hit Sri Lanka in what year was that? 2003, something like that. Several of us that had to go into Sri Lanka to help rebuild like water structures and schools and hospitals and stuff, we were given immunization drugs for malaria. So you have to take this for 30 days and it's a pill because you can't take it all at once. And let me tell you this, the Navy does not give a shit about pumping drugs into you. So if they're saying space it out by 30 days, these people sure as shit shouldn't be taking it in two. Like that is a big no-no. So if that were true, a great deal of our military members, especially, this is what caught my attention when all these people on board that ship caught the virus, a vast majority of Navy personnel are immunized from malaria. So if this malaria drug were truly effective in killing the virus, they would have never gotten it. Right. So it's just, you can't willy-nilly go out and say, this is a cure-all, go ahead and take it, because people will die when you take these kind of drugs. Mm-hmm. It is so irresponsible.
See, he doesn't give a shit about that, just like he hasn't given a shit about anything that he said in the past, because as long as it's a means to an end, as long as he could get out of this disaster and get back to his fucking self-aggrandizing, self-promoting fucking campaign rallies. That's the only time that guy shines, is at fucking campaign rallies where there are a bunch of half fucking brain dead zombies who have all been brainwashed by the fucked up ideology that he represents to them. Mm-hmm. So it's just all let's get through this as fast as we can, so we could fix the economy. I'll look like the hero that I want everybody to think that I am. And then my reelection is in the bag for November. Well, but he does not give a fuck. He doesn't even want to listen. No. He surrounds himself with two expert doctors. Mm-hmm. And he either contradicts them or just completely ignores the warnings.
Well, and part of the problem too is, he's not being honest. He's not saying, hey guys, COVID-19 is going to be a way of life now. It's always going to exist in the world. Like, even if we get this under control, someone somewhere will always have it, and we're always at the risk for outbreak. The good thing is people are contracting it and people are surviving. I'm very sorry for anyone who has passed away from it. It's terrible. But as people build antibodies and stuff to it, the same way more and more people survive the flu every year is the same way we'll continue. The bird flu pops up every now and then. Like the Spanish flu, if the Spanish flu were to hit today, a vast majority of people would survive as opposed to when they did it in 1918. Like, we have to build antibodies to it. And instead of calming the people and saying, we are simply doing this so that when people get sick, if they need to go to the hospital, we will have the facilities for them to be in the hospital until the population builds up an immunity. It is the same reason that kids, when they get colds, they're very, very bad as babies, and then they start to build up immunity to them as they continue to go on, because your body creates antibodies. To say we're going to eradicate this disease from the world, you cannot eradicate coronaviruses, because they mutate and they change and they pop up in different forms. We haven't been able to cure the common cold. You're not going to cure corona. You can cure polio. You can cure yellow fever. You can cure all the chicken pox. You cannot cure coronaviruses. Right. So be honest with people. Say you're going to get it. At some point, you're going to get it. But we're hoping that everyone has built up antibodies and is able. And if you have to go to the hospital, we will have the facilities to help you. We will have ventilators to help you. We will have all of these things. Instead of telling people, it'll just be gone by June 1st. Coronavirus doesn't care about your timeline, motherfucker. Like, it does not care. It doesn't care.
Well, and that's, I think, part of the problem, too, is that, like, because he's not saying those things specifically, he's not telling people that you're going to get it. Like,
in
90,
some way, shape, or form.
95, 99% of people are 70, whatever the fuck the numbers are. I'm saying, like, everybody's probably going to get it at some point in time. If you didn't get it, you maybe did get it, but you're not symptomatic. You're asymptomatic. But
you survived it and didn't know. You thought it was a terrible cold.
Right, exactly. Like, there's so many people that are going to contract. So that's, but he's not saying that. What he's saying is that, like, he's making people, like, breathe. They're living on this fear. And that's what's, like, in his mind, is what's driving the economy. That's what he, like, fucking Bernie dropping out of the race. Fucking all these fucking health care companies and the fucking insurance companies, their things skyrocketed, their stocks skyrocketed, because people are so fucking crazed out on the fact that everybody could die from this. That's not it. That's not it at all. Not everybody's going to die from
it. I don't even think he's like propagating the fear. I think he's not taking it seriously.
Yeah.
I think people should be a little cautious. And the thing I think is interesting is they're doing a study at Stanford now, where they're doing a bunch of the antibody testing to see if people, there was like a bunch of people in California that were sick in like November, December, with like super bad cough, whatever. And I had heard that rumor for a while, like, especially on TikTok, like if you were sick during that time and had this cough that wouldn't go away, that could have been it, which I don't know if I believe that, because there would have been a bunch of people dying from something we didn't know what it was. But we also don't have nearly the amount of cases that other places do. And so, so they're looking into it, you know, because they don't know if it's, is it our social distancing? Is it, you know, we put that into effect 3 days before New York. Is that really enough? Now we're not as densely, I mean, we have a bigger population. We're not as densely packed in. So it could be that. But I just wonder how interesting will it be if it turns out that California has built up herd immunity because we already had this. And it didn't come from China. Wouldn't that be interesting? The Chinese virus. If the Chinese virus didn't come from China, it came from California.
I guarantee you, I would actually put money on it that Gail and all of her coworkers had it already. I would put money on it, because in December, this cold, quote unquote, blew through them all. Like, it literally, some of the people could not recover from it. They were just absolutely miserable from it. And Gail got sick. I had like a little bit of something, you know, I was like, meh, whatever. But like, Gail was very sick. Gail never gets sick. Gail's been around the public since she was 16. You know what I mean? Like, she's been around people for forever. So like, her immune system is like out of this world. But like, she got sick, and
I think I get it, because I had the same thing and everybody was coffee and achy and whatever. But like, there wasn't the fatality rate that there was.
I think it would have been a different strain.
They didn't have the biometrics to attribute it to it. They weren't testing for it.
No, that I understand. But I'm just saying, out of all the people you know that were sick, I don't know a single person that required hospitalization.
No, but I'm saying
whatever.
Like,
but I'm curious to, you know,
but
see
I
what unfolds.
Think that it's not necessarily that they had this strain of coronavirus. They may have had coronavirus, COVID-19, and some other strain of it. Like, because, you know, like automatic, like there was the, I don't know the timeline, but when it went from, you know, animal to human, and then human to human, and then it was airborne. Like, there is a moment in there when it could have been, there was someone that had it in the United States that was passing it in sort of like the spittle formation, but like now it's been like even in the air and the and like you can just breathe and have it.
The article I was reading said that this would have happened prior to like the bat eating in Wuhan. So
yeah, saying California actually started it, not the bat.
That California started it, yeah, not the bat. So
I've seen so many fucking weird conspiracy fucking theories.
Well, but they
Jesus
did.
Jesus Christ.
They, I mean, there has been some misinformation coming out of China also.
Yes.
Agreed.
And the fact that the one doctor that warned everybody about this, that they should try to arrest him and didn't listen to him, and then he ended up getting it and dying, like, this seems like an episode of Lost or something. I just
well, the amount of travel that we have citizens in California that travel back and forth to China is staggering. And I was talking to Stacy earlier. One of her daughters, Kira, when we were living there in like November, it was either late November, early December, she was ferociously sick. Like, her cold was horrific, and it lasted way longer than a 13-year-old should have. Well, she was 12 at the time, should have a cold, and she was like, it was bad. I told her earlier, I was like, I wonder if she had COVID. And because, and she was like, well, wouldn't more people in the house got it? I go, I don't know. Cause Kara like laid in her room most of the time. She wasn't really interacting with people. We lived in a separate part of the house. Both Lex and Lincoln have O blood, and they're finding studies that show that people with O blood are less susceptible to it. Like, me, Stacy, and Kai are immunized from a plethora of things that who knows if they also counteract from being in the military, if they counteract this disease. We just don't know. There's not enough data for anybody to making these, to make these definitive like calculations. Just because it was identified and secured in China, I agree with you, Stacy, doesn't mean it necessarily started there. And I think that is the least important thing that the president should be fixated on, and it seems to be the most important thing. Like,
yeah, so part of me kind of hopes it didn't start
well,
there.
And for funsies, let's say it did start with this guy eating a bat. Let's say it did. That guy wasn't trying to start a global pandemic. Like, that wasn't, and it doesn't matter now. It happened. It's like when an earthquake happens, or, you know, wildfires, or whatever the case may be. No one intends for these things to happen, but here we are, and let's work on the solution for it instead of working on the who to blame for it, because there's no one to blame. Because in all honesty, Americans are acting like a bunch of dum-dums right now. Like, the only thing I hear day after day after day at my job is, when is everything going to open? Well, I don't fucking know, man. Do you think I have some crystal ball that I can tell you the day we're going to let you go camping, you asshole? Like, I don't know. Stay in your house. I assure you, when you can, we will let you. Like,
camp in your backyard, motherfucker, like we used to do as kids.
But
God,
Americans
damn.
Need this, like, definitive, on such and such a date, this will be over, and you can go back to your normal lives. And I hate to tell people this, that is not how the world's going to be again. Things are going to have to be slowly rolled out. We're going to have to limit exposure for a certain amount of time to keep the curve low. Like we were talking today, do we open all the campsites? Do we limit it to day use? Do we make it every other campsite that you can use? Like, all of these things have to be taken into consideration. Mm-hmm. And why?
Right.
Because people like us have to decide what's best for public health, because they can't be trusted to do it themselves.
Yes.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, it's so funny, as I said to Gail, I think just the other day, I was just like, so what do you think is going to happen when they actually do open restaurants again? And she was just like, I don't think they're ever opening again. You know, I'm like laughing about it. No, we were laughing.
They're but closed like, forever.
They're closed forever. And I was just like, okay.
People aren't going to eat anymore.
Never again. But we were laughing, you know, because like, it's almost like a stress reliever. It's almost like a stress reliever to like think of like the worst possible scenario and then like, you know, go from there. But like, I was like, do you think they're going to do like, you know, because before Maggiano's closed, they actually did a 6 feet between tables. So like, I was like, do you think they're going to go back to that? And she was like, I don't know. Like, but I think it's almost like important that they do something like that, like that they actually limit the amount of people that they have in a restaurant, that they say, you know, like you're going to you have to make a reservation. Like, there's no way around it. You cannot walk in. Like, there's going to have to be some sort of, like, overarching, like, this is what all restaurants have to do in order to function again. Because if everybody starts bum-rushing restaurants, like, they're going to be super crowded again. And they're not going to be able to sustain themselves because they haven't been able to, like, stock the amount of food they need to stock. They haven't been able to, you know, do the amount of, like, they clearly don't have all the people they want. And who knows if all the people that they let go or furloughed are going to come back when they need them to come back. Like, no one knows this stuff. So that's where it's, like, so scary. The amount of, like, unknown is where, yeah. like we're looking at Disney World, and Disney World's like, are we going to, like, we might have to, like, test everybody's temperature before they come in. We're like, oh, my God, so you're going to have to check our bags and test our temperatures? What the fuck?
Did you see that Disney food blog video about it?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's crazy. Oh, my God. Mm-hmm.
Well, it kind of goes back to, we've talked about this on here before, Americans' inability to accept any amount of discomfort. Like, it's why we take pain medication if, like, the slightest thing hurts, and why people become addicted to opioids when they have back surgeries and, like, all of these things. And it's because we're unwilling to experience any level of pain or discomfort. We want everything. And I think that's more, I shouldn't just say America. I think that's a very human condition right now in first world countries, not third world, obviously. But we want everything to be fast and easy and without any type of interference with what we want. Like, well, I and want I think this, people so don't
desperately want things to go back to normal. But we're going to have a new normal. Like, it won't be like it was in, you know, January. Like, life just isn't going to be the same.
Not for a while. It will go back to normal eventually, but it's going to happen in waves.
But we will have.
But was the old normal really the good normal?
Was it normal? Yeah, who knows?
Yeah, like, you know, like, I see all of these things. I mean, I think I kind of remember talking about this last time, but I don't know. We're like,
is it about the earth healing itself?
Yeah, the earth but like, now there's pictures of, like, the Himalayas coming out. And, like, it's so amazing to see
there's
that,
more,
like,
people taking walks. Yes, and, like, you know,
it's just cool to see that people are, like, understanding that the earth really was not healthy. Like, the earth as a whole was not healthy, and now the earth has been able to take a breath and
look how fast it has started to heal itself too,
right?
Which is
incredible. Can you imagine if this goes on for another 30 days? Like, it is going, it may or may not, I mean, it could have, like, I always think, like, everything happens for a reason. And I think about, like, back when, like, Greta Thunberg was like, look, this is these are the stats, if we don't change something, this is what's going to happen, and then this happened. And now things are changing. And, like, whether or not, like, I 100% always believe that everything happens for a reason. And I think that this may have been to give the earth a moment to take a breath and to heal itself a little bit. Because if not, like, we would not have had much more time on this earth. And, like, Jackie, like, Lincoln and Stacey, like, your children, and, like,
Piper.
I think about Piper and fucking Oliver for, like, Carly. And there's so many things that happen in this world that, like, depend on the future of the earth, not just America, the earth. And that's where, like, I feel like we're finally kind of seeing that our involvement in the world is so much more than just emissions or trash or things like
that. Well, if anything, too, it's forced a lot of companies to set up the process for people to be able to work remotely, which will be beneficial, because I think a lot of positions could function from home, you know, 2 days a week or 3 days a week or whatever is stipulated for, you know, so many things can be addressed in email. We don't all have to be in the same room. Like, I think I've told you guys this before. It drives me up the wall that, like, I work at the UC Stanislaus campus and I have to drive to our downtown tower whenever I have a meeting there, which means that I'm on the road for an hour total, like a half an hour there and a half an hour back, find parking, blah, blah, blah. When we could do that over a conference call. Like, I don't need to be physically sitting in the room. I'm not saying I don't need to be at my office, but sitting physically in my office, I can do the conference call, and I've just saved an hour of my day from traveling back and forth. Like, there's all these little things that have unfolded that I think will help people rethink the way we do business. And it has really shown a light on people that are actually essential workers that we never considered essential workers.
Mm-hmm. $15 an hour for these people suddenly doesn't sound so unreasonable, does
right.
it?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And we have to put them behind plexiglass. We have mm-hmm. to like, they see them in masks and gloves and you're just like, oh my God, like, I'm so sorry. Like Gail said she had to go today to go pick up something at Target. She had to go because it was like, for her glasses. And she's like, I thank the person. Like, I was like, thank you for working. Like, and I'm so happy that like, I'm with someone who understands how important it is. These people are like, really are essential and they really are necessary. And there's just tons of people that don't give a fuck still.
I also,
and I have to say, if I never have to touch another stranger again, because of this, then the weight gain and the isolation and the temporary insanity will definitely be worth it.
Well, I'm really glad we're not strangers, Jean.
I also,
you just try to avoid hugging me.
I will never.
I was also talking to one of the people that I work with the other day, and we were talking about, you know, what's our responsibility as people who still have jobs to contribute, not just buying things from like local stores, but to, you know, help the people that are actually working. And I said, I was talking to one small business owner and they said, gift cards are great, but the problem is you're buying a gift card, which helps me right now. But if too many people buy gift cards, I won't have that cash influx in a few months when everything opens. So one of the things we were talking about was, if you buy a bunch of little like $5 gift cards from like Starbucks or Target or wherever and hand them to people who are taking care of your groceries, delivering things to you, like you could spend $30 and buy a few gift cards and give them to these people. They will appreciate it to no end. You're continuing to contribute to the economy because they're going to turn around and put that back in. And it shows that you actually appreciate their above, because when you buy, like, let's say you buy a gift card from your local restaurant, like I'll use Willie's as an example. That's great, but how does that help the individual workers that are there every single day continuing to make your food? So I was thinking that I think I'm going to go buy $100 worth of $5 gift cards. And $5 isn't a lot. I know it's not a lot. I'm not under any misinterpretation of that, but it will show that you actually appreciate the work that they're doing. Hey, it buys a cup of coffee. Like,
right. Yeah.
Maybe it buys them a sandwich or whatever, but that you actually thought about them and handed it to them. I think for me, that may be a better approach than buying gift cards to the business down the future. And if you're getting food right now, fucking tip them. Tip them like you've never tipped them before. Yeah. If you have the money.
Also tip them when this isn't going on.
Right. Like, but I'm
saying, like, Jesus Christ.
I'm saying if these people are willing to work at jobs that are functioning off tips, they're not living the high life as it is. Right. Like, show a little bit of extra appreciation and just tip them more than you normally would. Like, I brought breakfast burritos this morning and my total came to $5 and I tipped them $15 because it came to a total of $20 for me. But $15 to that one server is a lot of money.
That's the most they've been tipped ever. I guarantee you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's, I mean, thank you because you're amazing. And I wish you lived
in
Tampa.
You're welcome, Aaron. So you
can tell, you know. But, like, I think a lot of times people don't understand. Like, they still do not compute that servers and service professionals do not make what they are, A, supposed to make, or B, you think they make. Like, just because, like, in Indiana, servers made $2 an hour. Like,
you should come to California. They make more here.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, I mean, like, here they think they make five something. I don't know what they make there. But
they make minimum wage, what the minimum wage is.
Well, yeah, like,
so 15 in, like, San Francisco and San Jose and stuff.
Florida does not even, for unemployment, they pay the lowest unemployment that you can. It's, like, 275 is what Florida's unemployment is a week. That's, like, asinine. It is, how the fuck do you think anybody's going to survive on that? But whatever. I don't know why.
Well, the other thing too is simple thank yous, like your teachers of your children that are teaching them on Zoom right now and rearranging how they teach classes and their curriculum and everything. Send them a thank you note. Like, mm-hmm. thank them for what they're doing to try to make your kid's life somewhat normal. Don't tell me you don't have the time right now. Like, just don't tell me that. Like, it doesn't take a whole lot of time to thank someone. A gift card
from Starbucks, like you said, like...
Whatever, like, yeah.
coffee.
Or like your local coffee shop if you don't want to do Starbucks.
Yeah, like in this day and age, right now, in this day and age, a coffee shop coffee is probably going to be almost as amazing as a margarita at a Mexican restaurant. You know what I mean? Like, it's just like, who goes and gets coffee right now? No one. So, like, go give them that ability to go get a fucking half frap cappuccino, no foam, no whip, blend of bullshit. I don't know. That's not what I order. I ordered a venti Americano extra cream.
Stace, what are you seeing on Republican Facebook?
It's all like about how Trump is doing an amazing job. They pull little things from like, why is everybody laughing?
not at you. At like the fact that that's what they say. Yes,
staring at what the information you're relaying to us because of the absurdity of it.
It's like
it doesn't seem funny.
They pull sentences from what he said, and it's like what the Democrats say. I can't believe he said that. They pull those sentences and they say, "Look how cool it is that he said this." Like it's really, I don't know. When you see, like, the far extreme left side and the far extreme right side, and you read the stuff they say, they're saying the same things, and they're spinning it different ways. So it's just, it's comical. Like, it's, I don't know. You have to see it to believe it, because it's, it's the same things that the left side says. It's just spun different.
Yeah, and I guess a lot of it's perspective.
Except one side's truth and the other one's not.
Well, no, okay. Right. Occupy Democrats is not truth.
Yeah.
Occupy Democrats
I love Occupy Democrats.
But because you
understand... They make the memes, though.
Okay, but here... So here's the difference, though. You understand already that Occupy Democrats has an extreme viewpoint that you don't necessarily subscribe to, but you find it amusing because it aligns with your beliefs. But you don't take their stuff and you're like, well, Occupy Democrats said A, B, and C. So that's the difference.
Understand. I'm just saying that there's some stuff, it's not just how it's being, like, it's not just a great spin job. Like, no, they think he's doing a great job. And I think he's a fucking buffoon who is going to be the detriment even more so of the country and will cause a lot of deaths unnecessarily.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but you have enough self-realization to... I'm saying that they take everything that is given to them on their right-wing sites and say, well, this is absolutely true then, where you can at least process it through your head and be like...
Go, oh, that's a meme.
Yes. Exactly.
That's their headlines that we were talking about.
I see what they did there.
What?
When we were like passing around that one like article that said that many Americans are not going to get their stimulus checks, and it's like people with disabilities, people that get, you know, veterans, certain people that get different kinds of income from different places that are not necessarily like just Joe Schmo that gets a paycheck from, you know. So Occupy Democrats was like, Trump can't get anything right. And then the like sub headline was like, a lot of Americans are not going to get their paychecks. And it was like, yes, I agree. And I clicked on the article that we were looking at that was actually from like a news source. And it says, it breaks it down who is not going to get their paychecks right away. People that didn't file like their taxes with like direct deposit. Like, they have to track them down to figure out how to give them their checks and, like, blah, blah, blah. But Occupy Democrats was like, he can't do anything right. Trump fucks up again. Like, blah, blah. And you're like, okay.
Yeah.
So I feel like it's just, like, the Republicans that I'm friends with that, like, share their, like, crazy-ass right-sided shit that's like, Trump is being so amazing with all this stuff. Like, look at what he's doing for the people. You know, like, I can't believe the unemployment rate is still this low. And you're just like, what are you talking about?
Well, at least you can't claim that anymore.
It's just like following Occupy Democrats because it's like, blah, blah, blah. And you know the truth is somewhere in the middle. Like, well, because they're just fucking crazy, you're smart. But so is the far left, too.
Yeah, you're smart, though. You get the truth.
I don't think,
though.
I'm pretty far left, and I would say we're not super crazy. There's a lot of blind. I will say there's I think the far left is far more easy to suss out truth than the far right.
Well, like we were saying,
and maybe that's the lack of religion.
In the comment thread, though, like of that Occupy Democrats article, Jean and I were saying, you can attribute a lot of things to Trump being a dum-dum. Getting your checks at a certain amount of time is not his fault, because that's not the part of his, they don't control that, because I've taken a civics class and I understand how government works.
Yeah.
So that kind of stuff, putting that out there is inflammatory, where he does enough dumb shit. Plenty of dumb shit.
I'm gonna
shit
say, I
on, like,
agree
the
with the
daily
headline that he fucks everything up.
Right.
But not this.
That's
like,
not his. Yeah.
Right.
Not, yeah.
So, like Gene was saying, you can call him out on enough of his actual dumb shit without going to, this is his fault too.
Yeah.
Because then you're like, come on, guys. Like,
But they do have the best quality memes.
Oh, no, their memes are hilarious. For sure. For sure. But again, we're smart enough to suss out what is like trying to be provocative and what is actually like, because anybody with any basic knowledge of civics knows, like, yes, he sucks at everything.
Right.
No, this isn't his responsibility. You think Trump sitting at a computer being like, what is Stacey Dempsey's address to send her this check? Like, that's not a thing any president would do. Like, so that kind of stuff is inflammatory, which just fuels the fire of the dumb right, who only get their news from headlines and don't bother to click.
That's what
on
I'm saying.
The
that's the big difference.
Yes,
I think.
Occupy Democrats actually linked a link where they just take the headline and run with it for sure.
Yeah, clickbait.
But we don't need to do that.
And
we just don't. He doesn't have dumb stuff.
But like you said, Jackie, like where it just gives them, the Republicans, like the far right, even more fuel. Like, I heard about like this, one of my friends is, her sister-in-law is a Republican asshole motherfucker. And she, like, they were like in this whole text chain thing. And she was like, my friend didn't say anything, but like someone in the text chain was like, oh my God, this is all the Democrats' fault. And the lady was like, yeah, you're right. I'm like, this is not all the Democrats' fault. Like, are you kidding? Like, we were not the ones that were like COVID-19, like glitter in our hands. Like, this is not us. This is not us. Like, this is like, this whole thing didn't breed out of Democrats. Like, this is a worldwide thing that has happened, and it is the management of it that is surely not the Democrats' fault. It is the Republicans' fault.
Well, like, that's the other thing too. We need to be more honest. Like, COVID-19 is not the fault of Trump. The mismanagement of it is Trump's fault.
It is the administration that has fallen short and it has failed us.
Well,
all.
More Americans
no,
will die than
I
necessary.
Heard he's the one. No. I read on Facebook that he ate that bat.
Well, I wouldn't
doubt
it.
You heard on Facebook? Yeah.
Yeah.
I would not doubt it. I would not doubt that Trump ate a bat the same way Ozzy Osbourne ate a fucking dove.
Let's talk about Gene's Facebook friends.
I thought it was a Big Mac. Oh.
No, you know what? There was a quote on season 3 of Ozark. You know, because Wendy Bird used to work in politics, and she said something to the effect of, politicians are smart enough to know to never waste a crisis. And that's exactly what both sides are doing now with this COVID-19. You know, let's take what's happening right now and use it to our advantage, because it's like,
we are seeing that even on the lowest level of local government.
Oh, yeah.
Politicized.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, if we could find one shred of reproach on the enemy's side, let's go for it. Let's expose it. Let's, you know, hype it up in the press and social media and make sure that somebody fucking pays the price for this. Somebody in the political arena has to pay the price for a crisis. No matter, like, you know, this, it's a natural thing. Viruses are natural. they come and go throughout humanity. And the closer we all live together, the worse they're going to be. And, you know, if we're stupid and we don't listen to the doctors, then, yeah, it's going to be a part of our lives. But you know, Trump obviously dropped the ball. We lost about a month of proactive measures that could have been taken to reach that apex a little bit sooner and maybe save some lives along the way. And so somebody's got to pay for it.
I do want to toot Gavin Newsom's horn for a second.
Me too.
Not that way.
I mean, I feel not... like that was sexual. Not that horn.
He came to the forefront and said, shut it down, before it was cool to shut it down, before anyone else was shutting it down, and said, we have 40 million people that live here, and I refuse to risk them. It's easier to shut. I was talking to my super Republican dad today, super Republican. And for the first time in years, he said California did it right. It is much easier to shut things down and reopen them than it is to try and shut things down after people are used to it and form their opinions and like been able to take in media and stuff. Like, shut it down. And as things improve, we will open things. And he didn't wait for the federal government to say anything. He didn't wait for local, low-level governments to say anything. He said, we are not risking 40 million people in one of the most tourist-populated states in the union. Like, no, we're done. Everyone fucking stay home. We're not fucking around with this. So and luckily, a ton of states fell in line behind that, especially when he saw what was happening in Washington. It was on our coast. Like, all it takes is a base knowledge of your demographics and your geography to know that we have a ton of travelers that come in and out of California from Asia, if that's where it in fact started, which is what we're assuming now based on the data we have at this moment. So I don't always agree with Gavin Newsom. I like Gavin Newsom a lot. I do. I like him a lot. I don't always agree with him, and that's okay. I don't always have to agree with him. But he did this 100% right. 100%.
Well, and the other thing that I think he really nailed is getting resources and starting the health corps and all of these things that he's doing to really try to make sure that everybody has the things that they need.
And look, we're giving 100 ventilators back to New York right now, or 1,000. I'm sorry, it's 1,000 ventilators we're giving to New York.
That we got that didn't work because
that Silicon Valley fixed.
That Silicon Valley fixed that weren't working because someone's administration decided not to maintain and service them any longer. So they sent us all these ventilators that didn't work.
Whose administration was that?
I can't remember
That's not the same guy who gutted the panic response team was in place under that other guy.
Remembering what day it is, right?
He's got like small hands. Really, really small hands.
And a long tie.
But probably, you know, a micro penis.
For everyone that hates on California, fuck you, because we got 1,000 ventilators that didn't work. We fixed them, and now we're sending them to New York. And for the record, we have the fifth largest economy in the world, and we could leave the union with no problem. And the only states that would suffer are red states. So, because we're a donor state. No one's stopping you, crazy.
If California leaves the union, I'll move there.
Perfect.
Done and done.
You know what? I'm living with Jackie. Gene, you better claim your bedroom quick.
All I'm saying is all those states that are always hating on California and call us this liberal fucking socialist society, I mean, maybe.
Yeah, but got us.
But you know what? That liberal socialist society donates shit ton of money every year to states that can't afford their Medicaid and Medicare and overdose rate. And we fix a shit ton of ventilators and then hand them over to New York City, who actually needs them. So go ahead and hate on us all you want. Well, I could go off on a tangent about this. But what is everyone obsessed with this week?
Oh, I got two.
Okay, you go first.
So my first one is, have you guys heard this conspiracy theory about how coronavirus is actually caused by 5G?
Yes. Love it.
Oh. That's a the most that one. Fucked up, mind-blowing.
That's what you're obsessed thing. With?
No, I mean, that's the first, it's not the most important one. This is.
She did a deep dive, made a PowerPoint presentation.
I did not. But I listened to this. I listened to it last night. So this is like very new for me. It's a new obsession. Listen to it last night. I could not sleep. I kept thinking about how my phone was killing me. And I was like, I don't understand how this, like, it's fucked up and it's crazy. And I just feel like everybody needs to research it and realize it's not real. It's not real in the sense that that's not
we
real,
weren't,
right?
We weren't worried.
See, and you make fun of me for being old and having outdated tech.
Right? She needs her fucking 3G and a dial service.
Oh. Charlotte's running around with a satellite dish on her asshole.
She's got what's it called? She's got a Palm Pilot. She
takes all her notes. A BlackBerry.
I just remember when Dell first came out and it was like Bob's Office.
Oh, you remember Gateway like, that came in like the cow box?
Legos. And it was like it was like you had this office scenario where you could like go into this house and like go to this room and look it
on
up.
The computer?
Bob. Look up Bob. All right. Bob and Gateway.
She's only right? like 33. She's very young.
Oh, Jesus. This is my first computer, which was as big as a Buick. Like it was crazy. Anyways, my second thing I'm obsessed with, Jean, can I go?
Yes.
Can I do it? Are you sure?
Yeah. No, yeah, go ahead.
Will you? Go after me, so we can collaborate.
Yeah, sure.
Ozark season 3.
Fucking awesome. The best one. The best one yet.
Agreed. Like, okay. So Laura Linney, I have loved Laura Linney for a very long time. I think she is one of Hollywood's most
Dear Diary.
Yes. Obsessed with Laura Linney.
So good in Love Actually.
She is so good in Love Actually, where she decides to go
focus
for her mother instead of her fucking hot ass motherfucking love interest. But I won't get into that. Laura Linney in Ozark is the epitome of a great actress. Not only can she be a vindictive bitch, but she can also be a heartfelt family person. And I think this is the kind of show I needed at this moment in time for two reasons. One, it's fucked up as fuck, which is
it is.
Two,
it is
so amazing to see a family pull together and get through a crisis together.
Like, as they are breaking the law and laundering money for a drug cartel.
I mean, you had to bring that.
Nothing brings a family together. Like laundering money for a deadly, murderous drug cartel.
Like the fear of death. I mean, for real, though, like, Gail and I are like, wear your masks, da-da-da. Like, that's a fear of death. Like, that's what it's so amazing. Like, Jason Bateman is the only, like, I used to have a list of 5 men that I would go straight for. Jason Bateman is the only man I would go straight for now. Even though Chris Hemsworth is up there. I'd feel really, really weird around Chris Hemsworth because I'm like got a tubby belly and I'm not in shape and he's like muscle man. But then there's Jason Bateman.
He's kind of doughy. Bateman. He's 50.
Yeah, he's got a
doughy.
Dad bod.
Yeah,
he's
so
cute. And I would let him talk to me and tell me things. Ask him to just like maybe scratch my back.
If I was going to do somebody from Ozark, it would probably be Helen.
Oh, fuck me, Helen.
Who's Helen? Who plays Helen?
I don't even know. I've never seen her before.
She's an unknown.
Oh, yeah.
She's the cartel's lawyer. She's fucking very powerful and she's very bitchy.
Ice queen.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Get a hall pass for anybody from the show Ozark. Who would it be?
Ozark?
Yeah. With Jason Bateman, remember?
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
He's weighing his options.
Please don't.
For those of you that can't hear, we're waiting to hear from
Jason Bateman.
We'd get his hall pass from Ozark.
Nobody?
Listen, from a heterosexual man's viewpoint, there really is nobody that a straight man would want to do on Jean Ozark.
She said, "Yeah, there's nobody."
Ruth or Helen or Wendy Bird. Wendy Bird. Wendy Bird.
You like Wendy Bird?
She would do some things to me.
I bet she would.
Stacey, what are you obsessed with?
I'm not done talking about it. Christ!
Aaron, you're making it a 2-hour episode.
I don't care. It's so good. No, I'm kidding. Go on, Stacey.
Me, Stacey?
Yeah, you, Stacey.
Okay. I have two things real quick. Okay, first of all, one of them, Emily told me about. It's on Hulu, and it's called Taken at Birth, and it is fucking bonkers. And I don't know why, but I feel like Stacey would really love it. But you guys need to watch it. It's a docuseries. It's 3, like, 2-hour long episodes, I think. But it's about this doctor in, like, the, I don't remember when, like, the 50s and 60s. He was an OBGYN, and he was selling babies out of the back door.
This and was performing.
And he, yes, yeah, I told you. And he was performing abortions and stuff when they weren't legal. But he was, like, convincing women not to have abortions and to just have their babies anyways. And then he was inducing them. And then, like, forging the birth certificates and putting different weights on there, and that the adoptive parents were the birth parents, and then they start to question whether or not he fathered a lot of these babies. It's bonkers. Ew. Like, hundreds of this lady starts investigating all of this, like, in the late 90s, because she finds out, like, that's where she came from. But the problem is, a lot of the parents who were involved, either the birth parents or the adoptive parents, aren't alive anymore. And so it's batshit crazy.
Like, crazier than Tiger King.
Not crazier than Tiger King, but it's like when you realize that it's babies they're dealing with, and like the lady who's like kind of spearheading.
And women, of course, being abused.
Right. The women being abused, but specifically the fact that these babies were not just that they were selling them and stuff. They were completely falsifying their birth certificates, so there's really no record of who their birth families are. But also, they were inducing them in the 60s when there wasn't really, like, super wonderful care for preemies. And so these people are talking about picking up these babies that were 4 pounds.
Ooh.
And then they're just handing them to them. Then they have to go drive home. Ooh. With these babies that they weren't sure they were going to make it. So she goes and she talks to a doctor, and the doctor was talking about how JFK had, how they had a baby when he was in office that was premature and he didn't make it. And he was like, if the president's baby couldn't make it at that age, like, it's very likely there were a lot of babies that did not make it home from these people. Right. Either. And so, I mean, it's crazy. This
guy. What's it called? Evil fuck.
It's called Taken at Birth.
Oh my God.
So you should watch it. It's both crazy.
That sounds like it'll keep me up all night.
Yeah. I'm going to finish it tonight. The other thing that was wonderful was I love John Krasinski. I love him so much. Like, so much. And his, some good news. Me too. She's delightful too.
She's also
delicious. Split up.
Split up.
She's delightful and delicious.
So sweet.
Like a fucking dumb.
Perfect. His Some Good News show that he's doing, which is like, makes me so happy. But the last one he did with that poor little girl who had to miss her birthday party and couldn't go see Hamilton, and he surprised her with, I can't even say the entire original cast. Because I know for sure one person who is super sassy, who was missing, who started a bunch of drama. Anyways, she was an ensemble member. And when they announced they were going to have like the theatrical version come out in a couple years with the original Broadway cast, she got very, very upset about it because she was in the original Broadway cast, but wasn't in this version they filmed. Anyways, but there were also people from other productions that I recognize. It's just crazy. They did it on Zoom. They sang, and it was wonderful, and it made me so happy, and I just...
It was so good.
That's sweet. Incredible. That's lovely.
Did you see the one with Dear Evan Hansen? Sorry.
Yes. Also so good.
Sorry.
What I'm obsessed with will take 60 seconds.
Good, because we only have about 3 minutes. So.
Go. How are we not talking about Joe Biden being the presumptive nominee and that we are going to get a female vice president?
Hey, that is true. Mm-hmm. That's some good news.
And I saw something where it's going to be between Kamala Harris and Elizabeth Warren came out and endorsed Biden too. So
I'd be happy with you.
That's going
to
be
the big thing. Smart enough to pick one of them too.
If I get to see another however many years of Elizabeth front and center, I will piss my pants.
And maybe Joe Biden doesn't make it all the way through his presidency. We don't know. It's hard to say.
I mean, he may die.
That's what we're, you know.
I have a very soft spot. I have a very soft spot for Joe Biden.
Sure.
I think he has had a lot of loss and trauma.
I think
he'll find your soft spots too, given the chance.
Oh, he's creepy.
He may pinch him too. Hey, yo.
He's creepy.
And he would sniff that long, luxurious hair of yours too if he got the chance.
You know what? So would I. So come on.
Thanks, you're not running Aaron. For president, Aaron.
I think he's and maybe I'm wrong, but I think he seems like a decent person. And much better than what we have now.
Yeah.
And fact. I'm okay with it.
Stacey.
110% the lesser of the evils.
Yeah.
Oh, for without a doubt. Without a doubt.
I think he'll do the right thing. He's a little too moderate for me. But, you know.
Stace, what are you obsessed with?
Like, real quick. So we have a new Tiger King episode on Sunday. Super excited about that. They're releasing like one quick episode to like do a recap and like a check-in with all the people today about what happened then. So that's exciting. And the second thing is I'm going to have babies on the farm soon. So Tuesday I can start watching Mama Pig for piglets and Thursday I can start watching the Mama Goats for kids.
Okay, just saying, you could get so many followers on TikTok if you post videos. I watch so many farm baby videos that you should be posting this stuff.
Farm babies.
So I'm never good at, like, I always go from the date, like, I put the boys in the pen, and then I go from that date and count 145 days and whatever, and, like, that's kind of when I start watching them. And when their udders fill up, that's like a super telltale sign too. But I'm always a week off. So I can start watching them Tuesday and Thursday, but it'll be next week, Tuesday and Thursday, that they'll actually like start.
We're here for going it. Into We're life. Here for it.
Yeah.
We are. I want to see all the babies.
Baby piglets. Baby piglets.
What are you having again? Sorry.
What?
Pigs and?
Goats.
Goats.
Oh, the goats are so cute. I want to.
I bred all three of my mamas this time. So I'll have mini. I should have two batches of mini goats and one of mini fainting goats. I'm really hoping for mini fainting goats. Because
I'll take care of one.
Little tiny goat. Really goat time. Like falling over is going to be my life. Oh. Look at that. I'm so happy. Thanks, Jack. I think, like, seriously, I feel like this is around the time when I joined the podcast because I remember you were getting ready to have baby goats back then. It's
every April. Year in April.
Yeah, April. Little sweaters on them. They need little baby sweaters.
I did. Off. I had one that we favored a lot that I went on the Wish app, and bought a whole bunch of dog clothes. Dog pajamas, and I put them on all the baby goats because they fit perfectly. The little puppy pajamas. No. Yeah, they're super cute.
Oh, I wish we weren't quarantined. I want Piper to play with a baby goat.
I'm bringing Lincoln.
They're probably the same size.
You know what? Maybe in a week and a half, you guys won't be anymore since you guys are flattening the curve so fucking much.
I know.
I doubt it.
Jesus Christ. You guys are the best.
I have two real quick. One, in quarantine, my wife has found a love for baking sourdough bread, which I'm 100% here for because it's my favorite bread.
Me and too.
It's hella good. Mm-hmm. I know Stacey's already gotten two loaves out of her. And it's very, so very good. So I'm really appreciative of that. Yeah. And the second one is, once again, Outlander. because I just started this, so I'm not caught up, so don't say anything, Stacey. But I was just watching the first episode of when they land in the territory that was Georgia, and she was explaining to Jamie like the history of America, like in a really, really condensed, like crazy version. And not so much the history of America, but like the American dream, and like this is a place in the future, this will be a place that anyone can come to, that it won't matter the class you were born into. Your only limitations is your own drive for success. And one moment you're kind of like, fuck, that is the American dream. And then he asks her a really poignant question. And he goes, what about the people who are here before them? And she goes, what do you mean? He goes, the natives, the people who already lived here. And she goes, well, they kill them. Like they get rid of them the way that they ran out the Highlanders in Scotland. And that was the part that actually made me tear up, because I was like, fuck. Like in 15 mm-hmm. seconds, they summed up perfectly where mm-hmm. at one side of us is this really great, like you can be anything you want in this country. Your only limitations are your own abilities. And we decimated a lot of people to make that dream a possibility. And I thought it was just a really poignant moment. And this show, you guys, I can't even tell you, is so fucking good. It's so good. You have to watch it. It's so
hot.
It is. I'm very gay, and this show is very hot.
Yeah, their chemistry is like...
I don't think I've ever seen two people on screen that have as good as chemistry as they do. Yeah.
It's on Stars, so, but it's also on...
The first three seasons you can watch on Netflix, and then seasons 4 and 5, and then 6 is coming out later this year, all on Stars, which you can get through Hulu. But 1 through 3, I'm telling you, suck it up. Get through the first 4 episodes, because those are painfully boring.
Yes.
Okay.
He's got some opinions.
Yeah, he's got a lot to say.
I don't blame him. I've got a lot to.
Watch it.
Watch Outlander.
Hi.
Can you say hi, Lincoln?
Lincoln?
You say hi?
Hi, Lincoln.
He can't hear you, so.
No.
Hat. He has a hat.
Hat.
Apples? You had apples? All right, everyone's drink's good. I know.
Can I show my belly like that? You guys make fun of me. What the fuck?
What?
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 Whenever I show my belly like that, you guys make fun of me.
Okay. Well, he's 20 months old. So.
If I take my belly out like that, somebody would get
Thanks, everybody, for tuning into the Weekly Wind Down. We will catch you next week, where maybe we won't be talking about COVID-19. Probably not. Probably still will be.
Stay
safe. Quarantine. Stay 6 feet
Social
apart.
Distance.
And don't
Bye,
get
everyone.
It.
Everyone. We love you.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.